Well, today we have Vicky. She's going to be speaking to us this morning, so I'll hand over to you, Vicky.
Good morning. So exciting days ahead with this sabbatical coming up. Huh? Opportunities and it'll be a wonderful time for everybody. Very, very exciting indeed. I'm glad that Denise asked me to share this morning. I always like to share. And if you want to turn here, or I'm going to be speaking this morning from Psalm chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42. This is a psalm that we know very well, and especially the first verse. It says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God." And this is one we know very well, isn't it? It's such a beautiful picture, a deer drinking, and where we want to long for the things of God as this deer does, a nice picture. This is now an old chorus, isn't it? That's, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. It's such a loveliness. But we are very familiar with that first verse, but we don't often pay so much attention to the rest of the chapter. So let's just move on down here. So it starts, as I just read, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God." Again, it's just such a beautiful picture, isn't it? And then he writes, the sons of Korah wrote this, then it writes, "When can I come and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food. My enemies continually taunt me, saying, 'Where is this God of yours?'" What? That doesn't seem to go with the deer drinking the water, does it? It just seems something a little wrong here. He goes on to say, "My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. How it used to be, I walked among the crowds of worshipers. I led a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks. That's how it used to be. It was the sound of a great celebration." Then he says, "Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God." Then he says, "Now I'm deeply discouraged, but I will remember your kindness. Oh, from Mount Hermon, the source of Jordan, from the land of Mount Milzar, I hear the sound of the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me." Then it says, "Through each day, the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me." Oh, that's lovely. "And through each night, I sing his songs, praying to the God who gives me life." Then it says, "Oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forsaken me? Why must I wander in darkness, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts pierce me like a fatal wound. They scoff, 'Where is this God of yours?' Why am I so discouraged and sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." Whew, do you feel a bit worn out? Like a yo-yo? A bit like a roller coaster with this psalm here? Oh my goodness. But isn't life actually like that? Can't we all remember times, and maybe even this morning, other times, and oh, you just felt so close to the Lord. Maybe something wonderful in your life had happened, and just, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then you wake up tomorrow, and why did this have to happen? Oh, no. And some challenge, something, and you're so discouraged again, and oh, but somehow you pray, and you get through that, and oh, thank you, Lord, for taking care of that for me. Oh, I'm so happy. Well, what would I do without you? And then the next day you're kicked in the gut again, and oh no, what am I going to do about this one? Oh, good grief. And up and down and up and down it goes. It's so much like life, isn't it? And yet this first verse, as those, the descendants of Korah who wrote this psalm, they started with this: "As the deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God." We see right from the onset, this is what they want to do. This is what we want to do, isn't it? We want that. So the question comes, really, well, why exactly? If life is going to be a roller coaster anyway, if I'm like a yo-yo and I'm up and down and up and down, why bother? I like to tell my story, so I got to tell a story here. And this is many moons ago, way back in 1980, and I had just graduated from uni, and I was getting on that plane, and off to begin my missionary career with my $12 in my pockets, all I had, and oh, how the Lord is taking care. And I went to Salzburg, Austria. And some of you have heard this part before, but I went there. I was working with a ministry who particularly ministered to those persecuted Christians behind what was called the Iron Curtain at that time. At that time in 1980, it was just over a decade before the Berlin Wall would fall and the Soviet Union would cease to be. And I was so excited. I wanted to go and be a part of encouraging my brothers and sisters who were being persecuted. So I went to Salzburg and into a training program. And, oh, we had to go through, mock interrogations in case we were questioned at the borders and what to say and what to do. And in the meantime, during the day, our cover for being in this town was a bed and breakfast, and other missionaries would come. And so I had my duties, and I had been so excited envisioning on the airplane, oh, what's this going to be like ministering behind the Iron Curtain? And they said, and Vicky, here's your duty. And they handed me a toilet brush and some rubber gloves. Because that was my job for my 2 years while I was there, at cleaning toilets, making the beds, doing the laundry. And I remember saying, well, Lord, I didn't know this was coming, but but I just want to be the best toilet cleaner I can possibly be. And a wonderful time there. But after so many months, I'd been to the training, and I was told I'm going to get to go on my first trip. And we went to Vienna. We crossed into Hungary, and we were making our way to Bulgaria, to the capital city, Sofia. And I was with another person, a young woman my age, and then the director of the ministry, an older guy. His name was Brian. And Brian was particularly excited to go on this trip because he knew the pastor very well that we were going to see Peter and his wife, Pavelina. And I was so looking forward to this, too, because we'd got word that Peter had recently been released from prison. And this is why Brian wanted to go and see how was Peter and how was Pavelina and, you know, how did they do. So we get to Sofia, and we check into the hotel where we're staying. And at some point after midnight, we go out and get in our car and we make our way, because you could never announce you're coming there, of course. And so we go there and knock on the door, and a little curtain. They invited us in. It must have been about 1:30 in the morning at this time. So happy to see us. We come in. Hugs all around, introductions. We sit around the kitchen table, and Pavelina puts on the kettle. You got to do that anywhere in the world. She puts the kettle on, gets out little plates, and she put a piece of bread on each plate, and she sliced a tomato and then gave us each some goat's cheese. And I had never before in my life had goat's cheese until that time. I loved it. I loved that goat's cheese. And to this day, when I eat goat's cheese, I think of Peter and Pavelina, and it all comes back to me. And so while we're just enjoying each other, and Brian's asking questions, and Peter is telling us about his time in prison, that they knew that he had been going about to different people and telling them about Jesus, and that he had a Bible, and that was a big no-no against the law, and he had this Bible, and he was teaching people. So they arrested him. They took him away. The police would come almost daily to Pavelina, asking her questions, wanting names and addresses of who they were ministering to and all this. And Peter told us at one point that he had been put into his jail cell, and it was just completely dark. There were no lights anywhere, and he couldn't barely see his hand in front of his face, a bit of a shadow. And he was just there, and no lights. And he says the time just went on and on. He didn't know how many days had passed. He couldn't even guess because he could never see the sunlight, nothing. And then when they took him out, finally they put him outside and the sun was shining, and oh, his eyes were hurting, and they questioned him again and all that he went through. And I remember as we were traveling on the days ahead to get there, I remember praying in my heart, oh, Lord, this brother whom I don't even know, he's suffered for you and been in prison, and oh, would you just help me to encourage him some way? And yet the whole time he was telling this story, he was just glowing. And I'm thinking, I don't think he needs much encouragement here. He seems all right. He was just glowing. And he continues to tell us various things that happened and his questioning, and they wouldn't let him sleep, and they'd wake him up all the time. And I just kept staring at him, and he must have caught my stare. And he said, are you wondering why I'm still smiling? I said, I am. I am wondering how you're still smiling. And he said this. He says, I have to tell you something. I have to show you something. Okay. He asked Brian to help him. He and Brian moved the dining table, the kitchen table, to one side. They folded back the carpet that was under it. and he began to pick up a loose floorboard. I thought, I feel like I'm on a film set here. And he picked up the boards. He reaches down and he pulls up a box and he takes the lid off and lifts something out. It's wrapped in a cloth and he unfolds it and there's his Bible. And I thought, wow. I mean, we can display ours, but at that time I thought, wow, he hid this. He says, this is God's word, God's wonderful word. This, he said, he's holding, this is why I'm in prison. Because I was telling people about this. He said, they didn't find it on this occasion. They found others. He said, but they could come again. They could look around. They could pull up the boards, take out the box. They could find it. They could take it away. He said, but you know what? I had one in prison with me and they couldn't get it. I said, you had one in prison? He said, yes. Right here. He said, right here. He said, Vicky, do you know Psalm 119:105? I wished I did very much at that time, but I just said, no, I don't know. I don't know. He goes, it says, God's word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And God's word, if you hide it here where no one can take it, it will always guide you. He says, isn't that wonderful? I said, that's wonderful. I said, that is wonderful. And I didn't forget that. And when we left a few days later and went back to Austria, I thought, wow, I so wanted to encourage him. I really did. But oh, how he has encouraged me to the height. Oh, my goodness. And as I read this verse here, as the deer pants for streams of water, as we long for God, that's the key, isn't it? As we indeed take his word and hide it in our heart where it lives on and no one can take it away for us. Then when we're on our roller coaster of one day, oh, it's wonderful today, the next day, oh, no, what am I going to do about this? We have a wealth of treasure to draw from that no one can take from us. The truth is there. And the truth that is there, it really is a lamp to our path. And it really is a light to guide us along our way. It shows us where to step, and we can draw upon it. When times are bad, we can think, oh, but my God, the Bible tells me, my God is bigger than any problem I have. We have something to go to, a reference point, when we take his word, and indeed we hide it into our heart. So that's the why we do it. But now comes, how do we do it? It's not just memorizing some scriptures, is it? That could just be a cold academic something to do. But how do we do it? We want to do it. We see the reason for it. But how do we do it? You know, the Bible says, Jesus said himself, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. But again, how do you make yourself hungry? The Bible says, taste and see, the Lord is good. But again, how do you have that hunger? How do you have that thirst? So now I tell you something else. Another true story. This took place. I have a friend here in Worthing. She doesn't go to this church. Been my friend for over 20 years. I won't mention her name because a few of you might know her, so I won't say the name. But about 20 years ago, we were talking, and she says, Vicky, I'm going to tell you something about myself. I said, okay. She says, well, I'm okay now, but at one time, she says, the truth is, I am a chocoholic. Yep. And it was a real problem. She said she would buy the Cadbury, the big Cadbury things, several, and would hide them around the house, just to have on hand, and would hide them. And she says it got to be a problem because she was eating all of them in a day, you know, three, four, all of them in a day. Said she was gaining weight, she was having headaches, she was feeling sluggish, and she thought, I know it's the chocolate. She goes, oh, but it's so good. And she would try herself to, you know, not buy it, and she'd go get the milk, and oh, there it is. Well, I'll just get one this time. Well, I'm not coming shopping tomorrow, I better have two. And on it went. And she said that the problem just got bad, so she thought, I'm going to tell my husband about it. He doesn't know, I'm going to tell him. And he was surprised. He goes, well, where are you hiding all these chocolate bars? She says, well, behind those books over there is one. I got some behind the cereal that you don't like. She began to reveal her hiding places. So she says, now I've never lied to you and I'm not going to now. So you have to ask me every day, you know, did I buy chocolate? And so they agreed to this plan. And he says, let me just take them all right now. That'll help. I'm taking them all. and I'm taking them to work to meet with me, and I'll just give them out. Okay, all right. So she went and got the milk and the bread for the day, and she saw it, and so I'm not buying it. But you know the story. Well, she did. Several. And she took them home. She goes, well, there's no need to hide them because, you know, he knows now. And then she thought, but if he doesn't ask me. So she's hiding her chocolate again. So he comes home and he says, did you eat any chocolate today? Well, did you buy chocolate today? Oh, where's the chocolate? And so on it went and went. And she was able in time to kind of whittle it down, not to 6 bars, but to 3 and then to 1. And actually, it was months of trying, months. But she got to the point where she was no longer buying chocolate, no longer eating chocolate. Said she got to the point she could walk down the aisle, see it, and think, huh, I don't even want you, and just go on her way. And this went on and on. And then one day, as she's walking down and sees, huh, I don't want you, she thinks to herself, but I'm over it now, and that would be, it is nice. I'm just going to get 1 bar. Me and my husband will have it with a cup of tea when he comes home. Oh, that'll be nice. So she got it, the 1 bar, and she took it home and thought, oh, he'll be home in a few hours, and we'll just have it with a nice cup of tea. And she thought that thing was screaming at her. And she thought, well, I'll just have a piece now. I'll just have 1 piece. So she had her piece of chocolate and thought, it's a big bar, so it'd be plenty for him. Well, you know what I'm going to say. She ate that whole thing. It was gone. So her husband comes home, and she's looking all dejected. And he goes, what is it? She says, I bought us a bar of chocolate to share, but I've eaten the whole thing. And it started all over again. Now, the point is, she had gotten over it. She just went so long without eating the chocolate that she just really wasn't bothered about it till she tasted it again. And she thought, I want more and more. I want to suggest to you that God's word is the chocolate of our lives. When you haven't paid any attention to it for a long time, it's easy just to think, well, I'm busy today and I'm doing things for God anyway. I'm working at Messy Church. I'm doing other things. So it's okay if I don't read it because I'm doing lots of good things for God. And I just want to suggest, take some time, read something. Ask the Holy Spirit, would you just teach me something, show me something, encourage me in some way. It's like eating that chocolate. You think, oh, that was really good. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm going to read some more. I'll just read a little more. That was good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, we make ourselves have that habit and we keep tasting. Oh, we find we're more hungry. And we eat some more of His word and we wake up in the morning. Oh, I'm so thirsty. What's God want to tell me today? Oh, and we read some more. Take that first taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then you are like that deer drinking the streams of living water just from taste and see. Everything we need to get through anything at all, it's right here in the chocolate of God's word. It's all right here. And it's so, so good. And it's so helpful for us in so many ways. It's a lifeline to us and God. It shows us how to pray, what to pray, why to pray. It encourages us along our way. It gives us joy when we're down. It shows us that we can have wisdom when we do not know what to do. Guidance through here. His words are living. It says that. They're life-giving. They're living words. So I encourage each one of all of us. We all get to points where, oh, there was a time I was still in Austria at the time and being very busy. To the point, I realized one day, I haven't been having my quiet time with God. And I told myself the same thing that maybe some of you do. I said, but I'm doing good things and I'm a missionary now. So it's okay. It's because I'm doing very good things and I'm going on another trip next week. Oh, and then I thought, oh, no. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to take this time. I'm going to eat of your word. And oh, Lord, I forgot what I was missing, Lord. Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot what I was missing. Taste. You will see. It's a promise. Taste. You'll see. God is good. Not some of the time, all of the time. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you forgive us when we have blown it and we just come to you and say, I'm sorry. And Lord, every one of us in here, we've had times and we just got so busy doing good things that we just get out of the habit of reading your word and eating the chocolate of your deliciousness, of your promises. And Lord, we're sorry for that. We need you by your Holy Spirit. Please remind us. Keep it ever in our thoughts to taste, because we know we'll see. And you will guide us because your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. And you will through your word be our strength, be our wisdom, be our courage, be our joy, all through your living word. So help us not to forget. Give us that resolve to always taste and see. Indeed, you are good. And we thank you for that in that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.